Shalom, 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 Messianic Bible College students and all the members of S4C online. This is Pastor Sandy and Pastor Ben, and this is, well, the end of our school time, and we want to ask you guys, we have an idea to continue our studies, but we want you to be more inclusive on the actual things that we're going to study, because now you have enough knowledge to pick out different things that you want to study and go over. So we'll talk about that in a second. Meanwhile, we're trying to get the graduation together because many of you have sent in your homework, and we're amazed by all of the knowledge that you are able to speak. I received a download from one, and I'm going through that download because I'm reading it. She did a PowerPoint for me because she couldn't do a video, or he couldn't do a video. I don't know if it's a male or female, but I received it, and I'm going to read through it, and I'll get back to you today on it. It looks very good, but let me get through the end of it. I don't want to say anything until I actually have read the whole thing. So, but to get this graduation together, this is what we need from you. We need you to email us a picture of yourself with your full name that you want on, that's going to be on your graduation certificate, the AA degree that you'll receive from the state of California and from Soldiers for Christ, and you will put your name on that with that photo, and where you're from. So then when we do the graduation and we run all of the pictures of the graduates, we can put your picture up as well, knowing where you are and where you're from. And since you only have to email it in, it should be very easy, and then we'll get that done. And then we'll let you know when we're gonna actually do that graduation day. I don't know, Pastor Ben, are we going to mail out the diplomas before we do the graduation?
I think so, yes.
Okay, so we're going to mail you out the diplomas and let you, so you'll get that in the mail. And when everybody's received their diplomas, we'll set up the graduation day, okay?
I'm setting up a website so that we can place all of the graduates' picture.
Yes.
On the website and yes. Where they're from.
Oh, good. And then also, when we have the graduation, we'll run it on YouTube as we roll through the who the graduates are, name and everything like that. So, anyway, we are rolling along, and we are finished with school, you guys. So, what do you want to do? You know, school is out. It's summertime. You want to go swimming, or you want to keep studying? Because we had a thing before the school ever got started called the Shabbat Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
And we would get together and study different subjects in Hebrew and different subjects in the Bible and things that we wanted to go through. We would do that every Saturday, and it was called the Shabbat Breakfast Club. And then we started the school, and we graduated our first class, and now you are the second class that is graduating. The first class took a full 2 years because we didn't have to rush as we did with you guys. You guys got crunched. And so now we want to continue this as a Hebrew Bible club. And sure, I could come up with some really cool stuff. And as the Hebrew Bible club, it'll be more interactive. You can send in things that you would like to study more in depth, and then we'll go over those things, and then I'll come up with some things, and then. But we want it to be more interactive, where you can also add to the study as well as do your own study as I'm teaching on it. Because you should know that any study that you get into, we can go into it as far as we want. Mm-hmm. We can find out the numerical values. We can find out what the names of each person is. We can find out where that scripture links in the Torah or where that scripture links in the New Testament. We can find out, you know, all kinds of stuff. So we'll be able to study together, and I'm sure we're going to find some incredible things in scripture. Dr. Berry found some incredible scripture the other day, and I think it was in 1 Kings about 117, and then someone else find Hebrews. Did you know in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, Pastor Ben, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 7, so that would be 117, right?
Uh-huh.
Guess what it's about? Noah.
No.
Yeah. I think Debbie sent that in. Debbie Morrison, I think, sent that in.
Is that right?
And I went, no way. I said, Noah? I had to check it because I'm like, yeah, that can't be possible. God would not do that. So I'm reading through it, and I get to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. So that's 117. It says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepared the ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith.
Wow.
That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. So that's 117. And then, of course, the flood begins in what? 7-1-1, right? God is funny. And I keep telling people, like, every scripture is placed there by God. And, you know, and when he does that, you just go, oh, you're just funny, Lord. How do you do that?
Pastor, we have something that you need to address.
Yes.
They want to know if you didn't graduate or if you weren't part of the whole school thing, can you still be a part of the club?
Yes. If you were not a part of the school thing, you can definitely be a part of the club. And I want to make sure, I want us to get a Hebrew Bible Club t-shirts, which I would like to design.
Yeah. Yeah.
A Hebrew Bible Club t-shirt. I like to design that, and so that we can all be kind of a group of Hebrew Bible scholars who study together. And then who knows how long. Well, one day we'll come in and we'll study, and then a trumpet will blow, go off, and we'll go, Bible club's over. Well, to be continued in heaven. You know, and then you will fly away, right?
Amen.
So that'll be it. So let's get into today, and this is what I thought of that we can begin to do, because so many people have asked me, they say, the book of Revelation is such a confusing book, Pastor Sandy. Can you do a study on the book of Revelation so that we can better understand it? Because, you know, people have all kinds of ideas when it comes to Revelation. They believe, like, the seals are already open. There was a guy made almost $1 million selling a book that we're on the sixth seal.
For real?
Yeah. And his tapes were $290-something to get us the set of tapes. And I was like, wow.
To preach a lie.
Yeah, to preach a lie. And I was like, and they were selling like hotcakes, which tells me people need to really know the Bible for themselves so that they know, okay, I can't buy this. It says we're in the sixth, where it says the six seals already been opened. That's what I thought people would say, but that's not what happened.
Dr. Berry says, I'm all over that club.
Yes. Hey, Dr. Berry, what's your scripture? Was it 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 17? But I remember that scripture that he sent to me. It was Kings 1:17 or something like that. And it was kind of eye opening to me. I had to go and check it. When you guys send me revelations, I have to go check it, because I'm like, there's no way that couldn't be, that God would be so precise in making sure that this is being done the way He wants.
King, 1 Kings 1:17, Dr. Berry.
Okay, 1 Kings 1:17. Let me look at that, because I was like, let me watch this, Pastor Ben. 1 Kings. These are you guys' revelation, because I'm telling you, you guys showed me this, and I'm going, I never saw that.
Dr. Baer said, then false king.
Yeah. Okay, so is it chapter 1, verse 17?
1 Kings 1:17.
Watch this. This is pretty cool. We'll get to Revelation in a second, you guys, because these kind of blow my mind when you guys come up with great things. Okay. It says, she said to him, 1 Kings 1:17, she said to him, my Lord, you yourself swore to me, your servant, by the Lord your God, Solomon, your son, shall be king after me, and he will sit on my throne. And that's 1:17. So that is the beginning of the new king, which is Sar Shalom. Solomon is another name for Jesus. It just means he's a prince because, you know, his dad was King David. So he's the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom, which is another title for Jesus Christ. So that's saying right there that the king is ready to take his throne in 1:17. So we find all of these things that are just interesting to me, what God does. And then I can share with you guys some other incredible things that I found that I don't share everything, because if I did, I would drive you guys nuts. Okay. If you would please, before we get started, let's say our prayer.
Oh, yes.
And then we're going to get started. And I don't know if we should go from the beginning of Revelation to the end, or should we pick out certain things that we need to know in the book of Revelation. Somebody give me a suggestion right now, and I'm going to go with it. Let's pray first.
Amen.
Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yi Kadeshimcha. Tavo Melhuteke Yi Asero Zanaka. Be'aretz Ke Ashene Asabe Shamaim. Telano Hayom Lechemukeno. Usilaglano et ashmetenu, ke asher solechem anachnu le asher ashmelanu. Vial tevieno le demasa, ke im hatzilano minchara, kilaha hamamlaka, vehagivara, vehativ eret leolame leolamin. Amen. And we bless the Lord for this day and for this class and this opportunity to go into his word.
Amen.
Okay. The wonderful thing about the book of Revelation is that I say it's a simple book, but I've read it like, I don't even know, a million times. And I've gone through everybody's Revelation study, especially Chuck Missler's. And then who's the other guy? He's a scholar in Greek. Well, anyway, he had to translate the whole book of Revelation from English to Greek.
Wow.
For his school. And so going over it in Greek with him was very interesting as
wow.
well. So we're going to get to it. So let's look at this in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, because this is the most important book for us now. We're about to experience it.
Amen.
Or we're about to not experience it, right? So it's just, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show his servant what must, okay, soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to everything he saw. That is the word of God. The testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. So we're about to get blessed, you guys.
Amen.
And blessed are those who hear it and take heart what is written in it, because the time is near. I love that.
Amen.
Praise God. So it says to John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Okay, Asia Minor. It says, grace and peace to you from him who is, who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Okay. Wow, he's not even on earth yet, but I love the way God proclaims what's about to happen. Okay. Now, who was and who is to come is the same as saying Yahweh. Okay. Yehiyah, Yehiyi, Yehi. Yehiyah, Yehiyi, who was and who is to come. Okay? So Yahweh is that God who was, who is, and who is to come. And a matter of fact, the numerical value of that is incredible, matching up with the eternal God from the Hebrew. And so it says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve God, to serve his God and Father, to him glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So what's our job going to be? We are going to be a kingdom of priests. We are a royal priesthood. Okay? Now, I want you to ask yourself, who are we going to be a priesthood over?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah, good question. Okay, the church, here we are, we're taken up into heaven.
Right.
Right? Once we get to heaven, we're there. Are we there forever? It's like our home is heaven. We're staying here. The mansion's already built. Remember, those mansions that are already built, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and then that city is going to come down to us. You understand? So you're not staying in heaven forever. God made earth for us, and he's going to give us a new heaven and a new earth where there's no corruption and that things aren't decaying. Okay.
Amen.
But what are we going to, who are we going to be a priesthood over? Okay. Does anybody stop? So now when we come back, are there any survivors?
Yes.
Yes. Are those survivors in resurrected bodies or not? It's a good question. Guess what? There will be people during the 1,000-year millennium that are still in their physical bodies. But the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 39 that if they live to be 100 years old, it will be considered a short life. So remember how a long life was in the Old Testament? That will once again be extended during the middle, during the millennium, okay? So then people will be living a long time. Now, they will still be in their fleshly bodies, okay? Mm-hmm. And who came back in a resurrected body? The church. And everybody who went to heaven, who were killed during the millennium, who went to heaven are going to come back, but in what? Resurrected bodies. So you got a kingdom of priests living on the earth with people who survived the tribulation but made their loyalty to Christ, okay? And so now we are priesthood in this whole earthly system for 1,000 years. Because remember, somebody is his day off.
Right.
He's usually the royal priest, right? But he's like, it's my Sabbath, and so I've earned it.
But my kids do it.
Yeah. So you guys get to work. So so understand that we are a royal priesthood. The reason, one of the beginning of our eternity is to serve as a royal priesthood during the millennium, the 1,000-year millennium. And it says here in verse 7, look, he is coming with the cloud, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the people of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Okay? So he's coming in the cloud. Why is he coming in the cloud?
So he doesn't kill anybody.
You'd have to go all the way back to what? Is it Leviticus 16:16? Because we got to figure out, why is Jesus coming on a cloud? Is he just a show off? You know what I mean? Like, da, 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 da. You know, like riding on a skateboard. I'm going to come on a cloud because I just think it's cool. It's not why he's going to come in on a cloud. In Leviticus, I believe it's 16:16. I'm trying to get there. But in Leviticus chapter 16:16, something happens when the two guys try to go into the temple, and they try to go in there before with no instructions. They just walk up in there, and guess who's in there when they walk in? God, face to face. Well, there's a scripture that says, if you see God face to face, you will die. Okay? So they walk in there, hey! And boop, they almost fell dead. So God calls he calls them together. He says, okay, it's the Day of Atonement. Okay, now listen to this, because you're going to learn something about the book of Revelation, okay? Because I'm just reading Leviticus chapter 16 right now, okay? And, okay. So it says this, the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place, behind the curtain, in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die. Because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. So the first two that went in there realized, oh my goodness, we walked in, there's no cloud, there's no cloud, and they walk in, they see God face to face, and boom. So God goes, okay, I forgot to tell him about that one. Okay. But no, he didn't say that. That's me. I gotta stop. Okay, but he comes in and he says, okay, this can't happen anymore. So now he gives them instructions. Now when you come in into the Holy of Holies, you have to take incense, okay, from the altar, okay, and put it on the altar, and then the incense would create a smoke inside of the Holy of Holies. And then when you walked in, you didn't see God face to face, and then you would not die. Okay? So this became the rule of Yom Kippur. Now, what day was this that this happened? In verse 16, right above, as the title of that chapter is Yom Kippur, because he's explaining them to them now. These are the rules of Yom Kippur from now on. Before you come in here, you get you some incense, you put it on the fire, you create a smoke, then you come behind the cloud, then you will not see me face to face, and then you won't die. Okay? Now, when Jesus returns, what day does he return to the earth on?
Isn't it Yom Kippur?
Yom Kippur. Because that's the day that Moses came down from the mountain, his face was shining, and he lands on Yom Kippur, and the people are running because his face is shining.
Yes.
So Moses playing the typology of Jesus, Jesus is going to return on Yom Kippur. That's why we know that Rosh Hashanah is the end of tribulation Mohadim that's going to be fulfilled. Yom Kippur is a tribulation Mohadim or feast that's going to be fulfilled during at the end of the tribulation. And then when Christ lands on earth, we will all celebrate tabernacles together, and we'll all come together and celebrate that the full harvest of the earth has been gathered. Okay? So good to talk to you guys, because you guys understand most of everything I'm saying, because we've been through the class. So now, this is what is going on, okay? Now, when you get to Revelation, and he mentions this, he says, look, in verse 7, he is coming with the cloud. Why? So that the people that that he has judgment against will die, but if everybody sees him, then now you won't die, because he's coming to protect those that he loves, and he's coming with judgment against those that are in need of judgment. And it says, every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the people of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen.
Amen.
I am the Alpha and the Omega. In Hebrew, I am the Aleph and the Tav, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come. Then it says, Yahweh, the Almighty, El Shaddai. Okay, I am Yahweh, the all-sufficient one. Okay, El Shaddai. And it says, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering of the kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus Christ, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. Now, some people say, well, that the Lord's Day, he's talking about, that's the millennium, the beginning of the tribulation.
No.
Not necessarily, you know, but we have speculation. It could be on the Lord's Day because Jesus Christ resurrected on a Sunday. So it could be on that Lord's Day. So we're not sure, so I'm not going to speculate, but I'm saying, he's saying, it was on the Lord's Day, and I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, we should all know this, but in case you don't, if you went to a map of Rome at that time, all of those cities are mapped out in that
clockwise.
In a clockwise manner. Okay, so if you go to Smyrna, it's like here, then you go to Thyatira, it's here, and then you go to the next one, it's here, and then when you get to the last one, you come back to, and Laodicea is right here. So it's in a clockwise manner that these cities are set up. So as God is trying to show you, each one of these churches is representing a time period after Christ leaves, okay? So to know the names of each one of them, I don't have them before me right now, but they all have names and they all mean something. I know Ephesus means like my darling, and then I know Pergamos means mixed marriage or defiled mixed marriage, and that's when Constantine corrupted the church. And we know Philadelphia's brotherly love, and we know Laodicea means ruled by the people, no longer ruled by God, a church ruled by the people. Okay? And then in verse 12 it says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the seven golden lampstands was one like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe. Now, here you got the seven lampstands, and you got one standing amongst the seven lampstands, and he's dressed in a robe, and they said he's the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? The Messiah, Yeshua. So amongst the church is who? Yeshua. Okay, so there he is. He is in the book of Revelation in the first chapter. He is standing amongst the seven, amongst the lampstands, someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool. Okay? And if you're a black Israelite, the wool hair does not mean he's black. It's a representation of a lamb, like white like wool and purity. Okay? Okay? His head was white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. And his feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. The bronze is a color, is a material used for judgment. Okay? Like silver is a material used for blood. So if you're going to sell someone and it's blood money, it's going to be sold in silver, okay? So anyway, the tabernacle, they set it, if you looked in, when they were building the tabernacle, they set the whole thing on silver sockets, which means that it was, the whole tabernacle was set on, was resting on the covenant of this blood sacrifice. So we have to understand that these metals have some, so the bronze is a meaning of judgment, meaning that he's coming with judgment.
Yeah.
It does not mean he was, they were brown and bronze because he was an African American. All that, and he had a thick afro. Oh, see, I told you Jesus was black. Get out of here. Okay, here we go. Stop, Pastor Bill. We're gonna lose our audience.
From Detroit.
Yeah. Did somebody write that? Okay, yeah, he's from Detroit. That would make him not Jesus. Okay, so here we go. Now, and his voice was like, here we are. And his head and his hair were white like wool. You made me lose my spot, Pastor.
I'm sorry.
Senior Brown, like, and his voice was like the sound of rushing water. In his right hand, he had seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the key of death and Hades." Now, if anybody argues with you that Jesus Christ is not God, in the book of Isaiah 44, verse 6, God tells the Israelites, "I am the first and the last, and there is none like me. There is no other God."
Amen.
Then Jesus says, "I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, but now I'm alive." So either both of them are first and the last, or they're both the same people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so therefore, he says, "I hold the key to death and Hades." Who does that? Yeshua.
Yeah.
That's why I'm best friends with him. You know what I mean? It's like, you got the key.
You got the key.
And he has the key, and he is the way to life.
Yes.
This is a good friend to have.
He's a great friend.
Okay? Write therefore what you have seen, and what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Those are the angels that watch over the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches.
Yes.
Wow. So when Jesus is standing amongst the seven lampstands, he was standing amongst the church. And here he is. He's letting you know that these seven lampstands are the seven churches.
Yes.
So whenever you see these seven lampstands, you know what? There's the church. That's why when you get to Revelation chapter 4, and he says, "Come up here," and John is up in heaven. While he's in heaven, he said, "I looked and I saw seven lamps blazing." We already know who the seven lamps are, right?
Amen.
The scripture just told us. So these seven lamps are now in heaven. So we know that chapter 4, where the door is, and he blows the trumpet, that this is where he's going. But we're reading here about these seven churches, okay?
Pastor Stanley, someone wants to know, does the menorah lamp represent the church?
Yes.
Since Christ is there?
Yes. The menorah lamp, the seven-branch menorah lamp, does represent the church. There is a nine-branch menorah lamp that the Jews use. I have to get into that another time. But that nine lamp is actually completed in the book of Revelation chapter 11 when the two witnesses are snatched up into heaven. Now, how many are in the church? Seven. So you got the seven lamps. But there's two more that are coming up. And when they get snatched up, now you have a nine. and they're representing the nation of Israel. That's going to join. That's going to join the church in heaven. Okay.
Wow.
So this is. We want to make sure that we're understanding Revelation as we read it. Okay. Let's see here. We are in chapter 2 of Revelation.
Pastor Stanley, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Lois Benison said 7 billion people in the world, right?
Uh-huh.
Seven churches.
Yeah. Wow, that is crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
That is. And it just happens to be 7 billion people in the world right now.
It just happened to be seven churches.
Wow. I hope at least 1 billion leave.
At least.
I hope. Because I want God. I think God's a lot more merciful than we are.
Yeah.
Like we're saying, we don't know who's ready and who's not.
That's right.
You know what I mean? I may be a really good church goer and doing all kinds of stuff in the church, but you don't know how I am at home.
That's right.
I'm just praying that as many people get raptured as possible. And somebody else may not be that good of a church member at all, but they spend their time doing things for the Lord, and they spend their time in prayer.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't speculate who's ready, who's not. All you can do is pray for people. And our commandment is to love one another. So we love people. We pray for people. And I hope they're all there. You know, I hope there's as many people there as possible. The bigger, the better. That, yeah. You know. And so now we're going to talk about this church called Ephesus. Okay. Ephesus is the first church that existed when Christ left, okay? Ephesus is this church that's really going to go through it. Why? Because they're the first ones that are stepping away from Judaism, and they're the first ones that are talking about, we believe in the Messiah, he's risen, he's alive, we're firsthand witnesses, we were alive when he was here, we saw him do miracles, right?
Yes.
So this, they're called his beloved. And it says, to the angel of the church at Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his hand. And walk, what's that? Leket beregel, okay? Because if you're driving, you know, say, if you're walking, he leket beregel amongst the seven lampstands, okay? So, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars. Who is that? Jesus. In his right hand, and he walks amongst us, the seven golden lampstands. Jesus is walking this out with us. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles. See, they had a problem back then.
Wow.
But are not, and have found them false. And I believe that they found a way to make some money off calling themselves apostles.
Yeah.
And it says, you have persevered and have endured hardship for my sake and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. This is a hard thing. If you ever pray, and you don't do it unless you really want to hear it, ask God, what is it that I need to improve?
Yeah.
I mean, to examine yourself is a hard thing. Because, you know, if you ask somebody, you hate when, like, your wife goes, do I look pretty in this dress?
Ooh,
you're stuck.
Beautiful.
You're stuck, right? So asking, so going to God in this prayer is kind of like saying, okay, I know the things you like about me. What do I need to improve, Lord? Mm-hmm. And he might say something that you like, ooh, I didn't know that was a problem, right?
Amen.
So, but it's good to do it every now and then, because then God will deliver you from those little things that does not please him, you know? Like you're lazy in your prayer time. Okay, Lord, you know? Then I was like, oh man, I got to get better on that.
Pastor Sandy, yes. Our rockets sent from Gaza and are really close to Tel Aviv.
Okay.
I'm praying for Israel.
Yes, be praying for Israel always. Remember what we said last night? Israel, right? What? How many people? 14,400,000 Jews in the whole world. 0.2 of the whole world's population.
0.2.
And always number one in the news. And the number one nation in the world. and the most important thing of prophecy. So we got to always be praying for Israel. It is God's land. His people are back in 1948. Okay, now where was I? Okay, it says, I know you cannot tolerate wickedness and those who call themselves apostles. And it says, yet in verse 4, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the heights from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. I don't know what they were doing, but they had something that they really were, it was their first love. And maybe it was witnessing, going out and winning souls. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was coming together, praising God, and now they were getting slapped on it. But he's saying, repent of this. And he says, and do what you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Is that the light? But you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Mm-hmm. You know what the practice of the Nicolaitans are? You're already saved. You're once saved, mm-hmm. and you're always saved, and you're always going to be God's people. So if you sin or practice fornication or do anything, don't worry about it. You're still the people of God. Mm-hmm. That was the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, that you can sin because you're God's people and God is never going to change his mind about you. Wow. And so Jesus says this, I also hate that doctrine because you're telling people they can come into a relationship with me and continue sinning. And he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's the tree. Now we're talking about the church of Smyrna. Let's see, what does Smyrna mean? Proud and beautiful. I'm going to have to get back to you on Smyrna. If you can look it up for me while we're doing this, that would be awesome. But let's see what Smyrna is all about. How much time we got, Pastor Bill?
We have 12 minutes.
Okay. We can get through. Yeah, we can get through this. Smyrna is very short. To the angel of the church of Smyrna, right? These are the words of him who is the first and the last. There he goes again, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm the first and the last. No, the guy in the book of Isaiah is the first and the last. Isaiah was before Christ, right? Jesus is talking again. I am the first and the last who died and came to life again. Mm. What? God died and came to life again? It said, I know your affliction and your poverty. Mm-hmm. And it says, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say that you are, that they are Jews and are not. Mm. But are a synagogue of Satan. Mm. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Okay, now, I want to explain to you something about Smyrna, okay? First of all, what I want to explain to you is there is a group that say they are Jews and are not Jews. And this is a thing that's going on today, okay? You have the Rothschilds who say we are Jews. You have George Soros, who says, I'm a Jew. These people we know worship Satan, right?
Right.
But they're claiming to be Jews. If they were really Jews, they would be looking out for the Jewish people.
Right.
But they are a synagogue of Satan. Only reason the Rothschilds want the temple rebuilt is so that Satan can come and sit in the temple and proclaim himself to be God. Yep. Rothschilds aren't waiting on the Messiah to come back and build the temple. So understand this. Now, If you're crazy, and I don't think any of them watch the Black Hebrew Israelites watch this, they think that they're the true Jews. Mm-hmm. So they make themselves a synagogue of Satan. You know why? Because now they hate the true Jews that are living in Israel right now, and they say, we're the true Jews, and they're the false Jews. So now you're saying the 1948 prophecy of the Jews coming back to the land was a lie. The 1967 Six-Day War was a lie. The surviving the Holocaust and ending up back in Israel was a lie. Okay? And so what them recapturing the language in the land, you're saying that was a lie. Because you're now saying that you are the true Jew. So being a Black Israel, saying you're a Black Hebrew Israelite and you're the true Jews or the true Hebrews makes you a synagogue of Satan. Why? Because now you hate the Jews that are in Israel because now you think you are. Yeah. Even there's so many times in history people wanted to claim Judaism and were not, okay?
Cheryl Smith said Smyrna means myrrh.
Myrrh.
Isn't that the oil that they put on?
Myrrh is a very good smelling oil that you're buried in. Okay? So it's a very good smelling oil. Jesus got buried in 70 pounds of myrrh.
70 pounds.
Of myrrh they put on his body. And so much that in the Song of Songs, when he's knocking at the door and she comes to the door, she says the doorknob was dripping with myrrh to let you know that
right.
The Messiah had been there, okay?
Wow, that's right.
So thank you for that, okay?
That was Cheryl Smith.
Thank you, Cheryl Smith. And he says, be faithful. He says, okay, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you the truth. And it says, be faithful even unto death, and you will receive a crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Okay? And the second death is worse than the first death.
Yes.
Okay?
Oh my goodness, yes.
We come to this church, and in the value of time, this is the church that was existing during the time of Constantine. This church is called Pergamos, which means a defiled mixed marriage. Okay? Why? Because Constantine is going to mix Christianity with pagan Babylonian worship. Okay? So, it says, to the angel of the church of Pergamos, these are the words of him who has the sharp double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Where are they living? Rome. Okay? Now, I also want to explain to you something about Antipas. Antipas was sacrificed on an altar, okay? He sacrificed on this altar, and it's this this altar was in Rome. I forget where it is now. But anyway, when Obama got elected, okay, when he won the Democratic Convention, he put a replica of the altar that Antipas was sacrificed on the stage. He put it on the stage. And if you didn't know the history, you go, why would he put a replica of the altar that Antipas was sacrificed on the stage while he's doing this Democratic convention, right?
Oh.
And so a lot of people miss that, but if you can go back and you can look at it and you say, and then he's up there saying, yes, we can, which is thank you, Satan. And so you guys don't know, when I'm talking bad about Obama, it is not on a low level. It is on a very high level because I understand who this person was. I think I was the only Black person that was saying, no, do not vote for him. I did a whole speech in 2017 that, I mean, 2007, that said, do not vote for Obama. Okay, here we are. Where are we at here?
Wow.
It says, my faithful true witnesses, which said that in the city where Satan lives.
The Arkansas Traveler said that Temple of Bergamon is now in the Berlin Museum.
Wow. Yeah. Yes, it is. You're absolutely right. And it says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. So now we did that prayer again. We're doing a good job, but what's our problem? You have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. So not only are they teaching them to sin, they're teaching them that, don't worry, you still are the people of God because we're holding to the Nicolaitan doctrine. This was this guy, Nicol, who was claiming to be a prophet of God, who had started this new religion called Once Saved, Always Saved. And so God keeps bringing this up because you need to go back. If you just believe in Once Saved, Always Saved, you need to go back and look at the Church of Nicolaitans and what the Church of Nicolaitan was teaching. And here it says, They were doing what Balak did. They were teaching people to eat things sacrificed to idols, to commit sexual immorality. And likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. Praise God.
Amen.
So we're stopping here, and we're going to get to Thyatira, Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea, okay? And we'll talk about the false teaching of only the Philadelphia church is going to be raptured. I don't know where they got that from, but we'll talk about that.
Amen. You have to give them the mailing address in case they want to mail it in.
What's that?
The pictures and stuff. You have to give them the 335.
Oh, if they don't have an email?
If they don't have an email. If they can't email the pictures.
Well, they would have to look on the website.
Ah, I wrote it down.
Did you?
But you didn't read it.
Okay, let's see. Let me see. We have an address? Okay, here's the address to send your picture if you can't email it. It's Soldiers for Christ, and it's 3350 East 7th Street, number 409, Long Beach, California, 90804. And if you didn't get that, you can rewind this and go back and get it. Praise God. Okay. I'm thankful that we're going to continue this, and we're going to be the Hebrew. We're going to be Hebrew Bible Club.
Amen.
Okay, and we're going to continue just studying the scriptures in a high level. I'm going to be more prepared next time. Like today, I didn't know all the names of each one, but it's kind of cool that you get to interact with me and give me things
that I
don't have right in front of me. So this is cool, and so we'll get to those. Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, and then those seven churches will be done. Now, before we go, why are there seven churches? Is this anywhere in the Old Testament that there's going to be seven churches? Well, we know Leah had seven children, right? We know that the menorah lamp was seven branches. There's a lot of things in the Old Testament are going to tell you that there's this seven church thing going on, right? And so we already know that these seven churches, so that means if seven churches are getting raptured, and if what Pastor Ben discovered was that if Noah left and he had seven with him, that means Christ is leaving and he had seven with him. So what is it, if Noah is telling us and the marriage between Leah and Jacob and Rachel and all this, and there were seven. So God is repeating that same cycle to let you know that seven churches are getting raptured,
yeah,
and not, so people don't come to you and say, well, you know, only the church of Philadelphia is getting raptured. And then it's like, you're making up something that doesn't exist in Torah, so now we have to discard that. You understand? Mm-hmm. That's all we're doing, is we're going to study the word based on Torah. We're not going to study the word and leave the Torah out and then come up with new stuff that does not already exist in the Old Testament. If it doesn't exist in the Old Testament, it can't be verified that it's true, because the New Testament is just a repeat of different typologies and setups that are already in the Torah that's telling you of future things to come. Praise God.
Praise God.
All right.
We'll pray out.
We're going to pray out. I'm going to put up my new design for, maybe we should say, whoever comes in with the best design.
Ooh, that would
okay.
be great if they send in
Come up with a design.
Hebrew Club, right?
Yeah. And it's called the Hebrew Bible Club.
You better say S4C Hebrew or something like that, because that's pretty generic.
Yeah. Let's call it the Rishon Messianic Bible Club. No,
RMBC
Bible Club.
Hebrew Bible Club. Hebrew Bible Club.
Okay. And then when people ask you what the letters are, you can say Rishon Messianic Bible College,
yes.
Hebrew Bible Club.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now we got a club on campus. We can be the cool kids on campus. And so I'm going to come up with my design. But if you come up with a design that's better than mine, we'll get your T-shirt made. And then we'll have those as our class shirt. I might even, I ain't going to wear a T-shirt. You know, that's
no. Yeah, no T-shirt.
I love a suit. I look like a big muscle head when I wear a T-shirt, too. You like scare everybody. Like, is he a bouncer or a pastor? Okay, so thank you guys for joining us today. Until next week, we're going to bless you by saying this prayer that God said that you should say to all of his people.
Oh, Pastor, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
Vanessa Guzman says, when do we need to get the design in to you? What's the deadline to get due a design?
Okay, let's give it 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Whoever comes up with the best design in 2 weeks, that's the one we're going to go with.
The last class of this month.
Okay, now weeks. Look, this is what I'm going to do, because if I don't do this, I'm going to cheat. Because I'm going to vote for mine to be the winner.
We can let them vote.
So this is what we're going to do. We're going to put them up, and then we're going to have you vote which one is the best. And then that's the one we'll go with, okay? Because I was going to cheat. I think mine is just perfect. So we won't do that. All right. So the Lord said to Moses, when you are with my people, and when you depart from them, or when you see them, I want you to bless them. And these are the words I want you to say to them. I want you to tell them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarekecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavilecha v'chunecha. Yi'aseh Adonai panavilecha v'yasim lecha shalom. Okay. Le'itriot b'shavua haba. And now we got assignments, and we're going to have a new club, and we're going to continue studying on a high level. God bless you guys.
Amen.